Well, it is a treat to be back at Cornerstone, and I'm thrilled to be here and glad to be a part of the revival. I listened to the singing, and I thought, right on. I mean, that's good singing, wasn't it? And just spoke to our hearts in song. Well, I will give you a brief update. My wife, Robin, is well. Of course, you know that her mama had died several years ago, and she actually went to my mom and spent Mother's Day there. I'm going to head out after church and go to Paris, Arkansas, and be with my mom on Mother's Day. And the bad news for Mom is she had to do all the cooking. Now, I will say this about Mama. She loves to cook. She cooks pinto beans and cornbread, mashed potatoes and, amen, smothered steak and, you know, all the fixings, macaroni and cheese, corn. And I mean, you know, just little few things. And she's come up with this new deal called Coconut Creation. And it's got coconut pie or coconut cream pie mixed with a half a gallon of ice cream. Huh. I'm feeling like dismissing right now. We'll all go to Mom's. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. If you have your Bible, go to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. I commend you mothers. I thank God for mamas. I remember the first Mother's Day message I preached. I preached at a... You just got to know me. I ran track my senior year, and my coach... was called Coach Bill Van Meter there in Paris, Arkansas. And he pastored, still to this day, pastors a Presbyterian church in Coxville. And he asked me, he said, Derek, he said, I'd really like to have you preach to mothers on Mother's Day. I was in Dairy Delight. And that's a burger joint if you want to know where that is. I was dipping my fry in ketchup and eating a cheeseburger, and I had prayed. I'd been praying, Lord, I need something to preach to these mothers over there. And Brother Carl had never been to a Presbyterian church. I was nervous, and I got there that morning. And while I was at Dairy Delight, I wrote down a little message, and I preached that morning. Mama's desire, or mother's desire, and God's desire. I believe there are similarities there, don't you? But anyhow, we thank God for you mothers, how much you mean to us. Romans chapter 6, and then I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 3, and then I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I made about half of you real nervous. And the other half is just wondering what's going to happen. And but I do have good news. They all say about the same thing. If I'd have asked your singers what to sing, and if I could have called them, and I didn't, I'd have told them to sing what they sung this morning. That's how God orchestrated this service. I believe that. And that's how God works. Romans chapter 6, I'm going to read verse 23. Then I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 3 and read verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. I want everybody real quick before we stand to look up here. I'm 41 years old. I've been preaching since I was 13. Now, I'm not going to add up that and try to tell you how long I've been doing it. I've been doing it a while. Amen. But I'll say this. The older I get, the more I realize people think that lunch is in the middle of the day. And they, now I know this isn't, Brother John, this isn't here. Y'all ain't in no hurry here. But in all the other churches I preach in, they want me to done about 15 till noon. Now look up here. I'm going to do my best. I promised you. I'm going to just preach what I got. Nothing more. Just give you my heart. Would that be all right? Amen. Romans chapter 6, when you find it, shout amen. If you said amen, or even if you didn't, I want you to stand, and We're going to walk you through these next few verses, three verses total. And we're going to preach to you today a few moments off of these three verses. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, somebody say gift. Yes. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Go now to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Father, I thank you today for the reading of the word of Almighty God. Thank you for every man, every lady, every boy, and every girl that is assembled into the house of God. God, I'm like Pastor Carl. We thank God for the mommies, how much they mean to us. Pray that you would encourage them today. Pray that you would help them. And God, we do still thank God for the prayers of our moms and how much it meant to us. God, I pray you'd bless them on this Mother's Day. Move on us at Cornerstone. Bring revival and we'll give you honor and we'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. You may be seated in the house of God. I've taken you to three places on this Sunday day. And all three verses dealt with Calvary's tree. Now here's what I'm going to do. I want those of you that jot down notes and write down what the preacher preaches so that he can't come back next year and preach his same sermon. Shout amen, somebody. Then I want you to jot down, here's my sermon, the gift is hanging on the tree. I think I need to hit the rewind button and say that one more time. The gift is hanging on the tree. Brother Carl, in the state of Idaho, I know several months ago we celebrated Christmas. And I know in the state of Idaho, they boast of having the tallest Christmas tree. They said the tree stood 161 feet tall. The Rockefeller Center in New York City, they boast that they had a tree that had 30,000 lights. How many know there's always somebody that says they can do better? Utah said, we can do better than that. They had a tree that stood 48 feet tall. It didn't have 30,000 lights. It had 98,000 LED lights. They said they had the brightest Christmas tree. Then in the Emirate Palace in a luxury hotel, they said, Pastor Carl, that the tree didn't cost that much, only cost $10,000. It's obvious they got more money than they got sense. $10,000 is a lot of dollars. But they said, they boasted that they had 11 million dollars of jewels and precious diamonds and sapphires hanging on their Christmas tree. They said they had the most expensive tree. I've shared with you about the tallest Christmas tree and the brightest Christmas tree and the most expensive Christmas tree. But I want everybody to look up here. I didn't come to Cornerstone today to talk to you about a Christmas tree. I come to talk to you about Calvary's tree. I didn't come, Brother John, to share with you what's underneath the tree. I come to share what hung on that tree. Would anybody agree the greatest gift the world has ever seen was not an Xbox, was not a new house, was not a new truck or a new car. The greatest gift the world has ever seen hung on that tree outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Amen. If you agree with that, shout a big amen. Amen. Now, you say, Brother Derek, are you going to get to where we live? Jesus said this. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Can I go ahead and tell you that the brightest tree was when Jesus shed his blood on that tree. You say, Brother Derek, I don't understand. Do you remember he said he was the light of the world? Do you understand the light of heaven? He can shine in the darkness and the darkness comprehends it not. Let me just put the jelly on the bottom shelf. There's not a dark situation. There's not a situation in your life that the light of heaven cannot penetrate that darkness. So he's the brightest, he's the tallest, and he's the most expensive. Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree with me? If you look to the tree, you can live. Whether you're the foulest or the fairest, whether you got money or you don't have money, would you agree with me? You can look to the tree and live. Now, I've got wonderful news. I thought about Calvary. I've only got 3 points, but before I give you my points, I want to give you some little bit of context about Calvary. Brother Bill, I thought about Calvary, and the foot of that tree points to the hell below, the hell beneath. The top of that tree points to the heaven that's above. The arms of that tree points to the world around that was going to the hell below. But Jesus got in between. Brother Carl, he's the man that got in between heaven and earth. Now watch this. I'm about to shout on my own message so that I don't have to go to the hell below, but I can go to the heaven above. He got in between. Now I got wonderful news. I done told you. I done let the cat out of the bag. I've only got, and I'm telling you, I feel like I'm already on record pace. I was hoping for a grin or a grunt. I've only got 3 little points, and I'm going to give them to you today. Number one, I want you to jot it down. The penalty of that tree. The penalty of that tree. The Bible said, cursed is the man, Brother Ron, that hangeth upon a tree. The wrath of a righteous God, the eternal God, placed on his only begotten Son the curse. If you agree with that, shout amen. Amen. Moses said, Brother John, you need to see it. Moses said, he said, cursed is the man that hangeth on a tree. Then Paul got involved and he said, it's already been written. In other words, Paul said, it's already been talked about. It's already been mentioned. Cursed is the man that hangeth upon a tree. The curse was based upon the law. Would you agree with me? You nor I could do and keep up with the law. We fail woefully short. Matter of fact, can I just put a layman's term on it? We could not measure up when it came to the law. We fail woefully short. I said, God, how could I preach this? And this is where it got good to me. The Bible said Christ knew no sin. He never did any evil. He never had an evil thought. His tongue never uttered an evil word. His feet never walked a wayward path. He was holy. He was harmless. He was the Son of the living God. But he became the curse. Is anybody glad he took the curse for you and I? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'm doing my best. I know it's Mother's Day, and I'm trying to stay real calm and dignified. I would say I'm going to let my hair down, but I can't do that. But you hear me? The curse of the law came on him. The curse was based on the law. The condemnation bore by our Lord. Listen, he did no sin. He did no evil. Pastor, I thought of this. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. I said, boy, I like that. Here's the line that makes me scratch my head. God's boy was co-equal, co-eternal, coexistent. You say, Brother Derek, do you got any Bible? I think I got a little. God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon the form of a servant, and became obedient even to the death of the cross. Would you agree with the man of God? He was co-equal. He was co-eternal. He was co-existent. Now, this also makes me scratch my head. Infinite God became infant child. Woo! That was a shouting moment. You say, Brother Derek, why? I said infinite God became infant child. Galatians 4:4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman. You got to see this. Made of a woman, made under the law. I got to thinking, Pastor Carl, about all these made. He was made sin. He was made of a woman, made under the law. And then it said that we might be made the righteousness of God. I said, boy, God, that is mind-boggling stuff. And God said, tell my people that I took the curse. I was reading one day, or heard this little story in Northeast Alabama, Northeast Shoal Creek, to get it all out there. And Northeast Alabama, there was a daddy and a boy. Speaking of storms, a daddy and a boy was in their home, and everybody look up here. The walls started to breathe. Can I tell you, if the walls start breathing, take cover. Now, I know this is real deep. You might ought to write this stuff down. But the walls started breathing. The daddy knew that it was getting bad, and he lays his boy down. Brother Carl, he basically lays on top of his son. And the wall came down and fell on the daddy. And the son that was underneath the daddy, the son lived, and the daddy died. Everybody look up here so I can get that where we live. The daddy took the blow. Can I tell you, on a hill outside the city walls of Jerusalem, Jesus took the blow. They nailed spikes in his hands and feet. They crowned a crown of thorns upon his head. He bore the curse. He became the curse. My God, I'm about to get blessed by my own preaching. Is anybody glad he took the curse for fallen man, for you and for me? Hallelujah. The penalty of that cross. Now, I feel like the Bible said, and I'll give you one more verse. It pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased the Father to bruise him. I want you to jot this down, the penalty of that tree. Number two, I won't preach to you now. If I can find my spit rag. Because I'm going to use that thing right there. Now, not just to wipe my mouth. Y'all took that wrong. It'll be a prop in the sermon. Well, why would you do that? Because some of y'all need visual aid. I mean, boy, I could say a funny right there, but I need to leave that alone. Some of us like the pictures in the book, don't we? Don't laugh. Leave me alone. Jot this down. I'm on point two. Not only the penalty of that tree, number two, the purchase accomplished by this tree. The purchase accomplished by this tree. The Bible said, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. If that's Bible, would you shout amen? Now, I, Brother Ron, I get nervous around that group of people that act like that they're going to make heaven. I'm just going to preach to you like I'm at home. They think they're going to make heaven because they've got good pedigree. Look up here. You're not good. I'm not good. My righteousness, your righteousness, is as filthy rags. We've all dropped the ball. We've all come short of the glory of God. I hate to break this. I know this is breaking news. None of us have been fitted for angel wings. That didn't go over as good as I'd hoped. But I want to get real with you. The purchase accomplished. It's not your pedigree. It's not whether you got Benjamin Franklin's in your back pocket, or you're a CEO, or you're a vice president, or you're this or that. That ain't how you make heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, would you agree? If you make heaven your home, it's because he purchased you on a hill. He redeemed you on a hill outside the city walls of Jerusalem. I remember when I was a boy, Brother Carl, I had a papaw that lived. He really wasn't my actual papaw, but I called him papaw. He had a big farm, and I loved to go to papaw's. In the day when I was a little boy, I'm telling you, guys, I absolutely loved turtles. How many of we tortured them babies? Now, I'm not telling I actually heard it. I didn't. I put it in a box and gave it lettuce. That's torture. You know that turtle didn't want to live in that box. He wanted to cross the road and get somewhere else, but I've got him captive. And I've got two or three, they tell you he'd eat that lettuce. Everybody look up here. I never seen him eat 1 ounce of that lettuce. Begged him to eat it. I scooted up by his nose. He wouldn't eat it. Finally, I felt so sorry for that turtle, I let him go. But I remember, I don't know how I get off on some of this stuff, but don't laugh, just leave. One day, here's my turtle, that's the best I got. Now, one day I was walking along, and a lot, most of the time, Brother Carl, I found him walking in the grass. One day I walked up to a fence post, and I found... John, I found a turtle on top of that fence post. Now, everybody look up here. If you think it shimmied up that fence post, you're crippled too high for crutches to help. That turtle, everybody listen, that turtle did not shimmy up the fence post. Somebody found him in a low position and picked him up and placed him at a higher plane than he had ever been before. Does anybody agree with the man of God on a Sunday day that I am redeemed by love divine? Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. I have been redeemed. Hallelujah. Been redeemed. I am a prized possession. He lifted me in a high position. How many would agree with the preacher today? You are a prized possession. He shed his blood. I'm redeemed. Now listen, I'll go. God's concept that is revealed. Claim results. I guess you'd just have to jot this as a subpoint. God's concept that is revealed. Claim results. January the 1st, 1863. We issued in America the executive order. We called it the Emancipation Proclamation. He signed by decree and liberated 3.1 million slaves. You and I realize it was years later before they actually walked in that freedom. But he signed by decree. Can I tell you on a Sunday day in church that you and I are not free by what a man wrote on a parchment? You and I have been redeemed, and you and I have been freed by what he did on a hill outside the city walls of Jerusalem. The blood that came down that tree. Would you agree with me? I'm not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by his precious blood, I've been redeemed. Is anybody glad for the blood of Jesus Christ? He says this, and I'm already on point three. Don't look at the clock, you'll be amazed. I'm as shocked as everybody in here. First Corinthians 6:19. What know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? Brother Carl, when I read that, and I look at this late day hour in the church, I'm dealing with a generation that sees nothing wrong with anything. And everything's okay. Everybody look up here. Know you not that you're the temple of the Holy Ghost? You're not your own. In other words, you don't make the rules. Hold up. Whoa! I don't make the rules. Brother John, I have to live out of this book. Hold up. The least I can do as a prized possession of God is recognize I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. If you agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now, I want you to jot this down. I preach to you about the penalty, and I preach to you about the purchase. Now, I'm going to call my mama on Mother's Day, because this is a big word right here, Marlette. This is a big word. Number three, the paradox that is attached to this tree. Well, Brother Derek, what's the big word? Well, for Derek, it's paradox. Hold up. Before you just write this off, I know we all in here act like we know what it is. Well, just give me just a few minutes. I'll do my best to explain it. Now, I know you're going to want a deeper analogy or a deeper thought, but this is the best I got. Maybe your pastor can clear this up after the evangelist leaves. This is what I believe a paradox is. The paradox that is attached to this tree. Here's what I want you to see. It looks to be a contradiction. How can a man die on a cross and save lives? That's a paradox. by his stripes we are healed. Hold up. I said, okay, God, how could I get it where we live? I am made, Brother Colchester, I am made to accept in the economy of God. He gets hurt, I get healed. In the economy of God, he is rejected, I am accepted. In the economy of God, he wears a crown of thorns, I wear a crown of righteousness. Hold up, I'm just about to lose it. How can the heel of Horus become the heel whence cometh my help? Paradox. Brother Bill, that's a paradox. If y'all agree with that, shout amen.
Amen.
Now I'll give you this. I got two stories and I'll close. In 1981, a little boy was lost in the Palmer Woods outside of San Diego, California. 4 days later, they found him. And he died because of exposure to the cold, exposure to the elements. Now, it so moved the National Search and Rescue Committee when that little boy Johnny died at 8. Or that little boy Jimmy, I'll get it right, died at such an early age. He got separated from his daddy and his mama. It so moved them. They decided to go to San Diego and all of the public schools and tell little boys and girls in 1981, 1982. They told little boys and little girls what to do if you got lost in the woods. Now I'm going to tell you, if I can stay calm right here, we'll have a good day. They said, we got to simplify it, Brother Carl. We got to make it in a single sentence so little boys and little girls can get it. Can I go ahead and tell you, and I'm not picking on any of us, can I go ahead and tell you the best kind of preaching and the best kind of advice in anything is simple. You know, we always want to be just so smart and look real smart. You realize, just tell me where I am. Just get real with me. I just need you to get real. So they simplified it, and here's what they told little boys and little girls. You'll love it. You'll love it. They said this: don't run. Don't try to search for safety. If you get lost, write this down. If you get lost in the woods, hug a tree. I think I got to hit the rewind button because I don't think they heard me in the back there. The sound room, I don't know what they're doing, but I don't even think they... No, they thumbed up. They did hear it. If you get lost in the woods, don't run, don't search for safety. Hug a tree. And if you hug it, help will come. I'm just getting a little foggy-eyed. I was 13 in a little Free Will Baptist church. The old preacher, Jeff Henderson and Janot Johnston, got up and preached, "The grass looks greener on the other side." And they preached like big trees falling. And a little boy named Stinnett on the back row got convicted of my sin. Everybody look up here. I didn't run. I didn't search for safety. I didn't look for anything else. I walked down the center aisle. I bowed my head at an old-fashioned altar. And I held on to the tree. To the tree. Watch this. And while I hugged the tree, I saw him bleeding for me. Woo! I saw him dying for me. I saw him taking my place and doing for me what I could not do for myself. But ladies and gentlemen, the harder I held and the closer I got, the more I realized I couldn't save myself. I had to put my faith in the redemptive work of Calvary's cross. Would anybody agree? Don't run. Don't search for help. There's a tree in this house and there's help in this house, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Woo! I said I had two. I got one more. The year was 2013. They commemorated the 100-year anniversary of the Dayton, Ohio flood back in 1913. In Dayton, Ohio, they had that flood. Of course, it was obviously named the Dayton flood. Many people, Pastor, lost their lives. Many families were devastated. As I told you, in 2013, the 100-year anniversary, Brother Bill, they commemorated. They had an anniversary, or they just tried to relive and how the tragedy of that day. They interviewed a man at that day in 2013, Brother Ron, that was 101 years old. He was in the Dayton flood. He was an 8-month-old little boy. He relived the story that had been passed on to him. He said, "My mama was frantic and nervous. My mama grabbed me. I was 8 months old. She made sure my older brother and my older sister was on board the boat. Mama got me on board the boat safely. And the violent flood pushed us down the stream. Mama grabbed hold of a tree." Boy, aren't you glad for trees? She grabbed on, and it's going to get graphic, but I'm going to be real with you. She held the tree. Daddies and mamas cried out, "Help me, help me, my baby. My baby is in the water. Help me." Brother Bill, that man that was 101 years old, he said, "I'm alive today because mama held on to the tree." Now hold up, hold up. Do you realize I'm preaching to a generation that thinks there's several ways to heaven? Look up here. There's one way to heaven. Jesus Christ paid the supreme sacrifice on a hill. The gift is hanging on the tree. And if you make heaven, baby, it's not because you're a Free Will Baptist or a Baptist. It's because you put your faith in the redemptive work of what happened on a hill outside the city wall. I'm trying on a day like today, with people, Brother Carl, being pushed down the stream of life and the degradation and the pull and the tug of the world, I'm trying to get some baby, some daddy, some mama to realize if they'll hold on to the tree. Now listen to me. I said I'd close. I'm going to close my Bible when I get up here. So I am following the rule book. I am finished. But I will say this on Mother's Day. Me and my wife have two precious youngins. Can I tell you the gospel truth? That I want my son and my daughter, my oldest daughter and my baby boy to know. Brother Carl, I don't care if they ever call me a great preacher, if they ever knew Dad was a great preacher, or they thought Dad was a great, it really doesn't matter to me. But I want my daughter and my son to know that I lived out of this book. And I held on to the things that mattered. Because that's all that really matters. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to get it. On this great Mother's Day, this great celebration, the greatest thing you can do as a mama is hold on to the core principles of the Word of God and the B-I-B-L-E. Would you agree with me? And the blood that was shed on that hill and things of a great value. The gift is hanging on the tree.